Mrs. R. Canaan was a great believer in net curtains, so that she could see out while outsiders couldn't see in. William lurked behind the ones in his room until he was certain that an indistinct shape amongst the rooftops opposite was a gargoyle. This wasn't natural gargoyle territory, any more than Gleam Street. The thing about gargoyles, he reflected as he stepped back and headed down the stairs, was that they didn't get bored. They were happy to stay and watch anything for days. But while they moved faster than people thought, they didn't move faster than people. He ran through the kitchen so quickly that he only heard Mrs. Arcanum gasp, and then he was through the back door and over the wall and into the alley beyond. Someone was sweeping it. For a moment, William wondered if it was a watchman in disguise, or even Sister Jennifer in disguise, but probably there was no one who disguised themselves as a gnoll. You'd have to strap a compost heap to your back to begin with. Gnolls ate almost everything. What they didn't eat, they collected obsessively. No one had ever studied them to find out why. Perhaps a carefully sorted collection of rotted cabbage stalks was a sign of big status in gnoll society.
"I don't miss the word,"
croaked the creature, leaning on its shovel.
Hello,
snake."
"Ah, yes, thank you. Goodbye."
He hurried down another alley, crossed the street and found yet another alley. He wasn't sure how many gargoyles were watching him, but it took them some time to cross streets. How was it that the gnoll had known his name? It wasn't as though they'd met at a party or something. Besides, the gnolls all worked for Harry King. Well, they did say that the King of the Golden River never forgot a debtor. William ducked and dodged across several blocks, making as much use as he could of the alleys and walkthroughs and noisome courts. He was sure a normal person wouldn't be able to keep track of him, but then he'd be amazed if a normal person was following him. Mr. Vimes liked to refer to himself as a simple copper, just as Harry King thought of himself as a rough diamond. William suspected that the world was littered with the remains of those people who had taken them at their word. He slowed down and climbed some outside stairs, and then he waited. "You're a fool," said the internal editor. "Some people have tried to kill you. You're concealing information from the watch. You're mixing with strange people. You're about to do something that is going to get so far up Mr. Vimes's nose it will raise his hat. And why?" "Because it makes my blood tingle," he thought, "and because I'm not going to be used by anyone." There was a faint sound at the end of the alley, which might not have been heard by anyone who wasn't expecting it. It was the sound of something sniffing. William looked down and saw, in the gloom, a four-legged shape break into a trot while keeping its muzzle close to the ground. William measured the distance carefully. Declaring independence was one thing. Assaulting a member of the watch was a very different thing. He lobbed the fragile bottle so that it would land 20 feet ahead of the werewolf. Then he dropped from the stairs onto the top of a wall and jumped down onto a privy roof just as the glass broke with a puff inside the sock. There was a yelp and the sound of scrabbling claws. William jumped from the roof and onto another wall, inched along the top of it, and climbed down into another alley, and then he ran. It took 5 minutes, dodging into convenient cover and cutting through buildings to arrive at the livery stables. In the general bustle, no one took any notice of him. He was just another man coming to fetch his horse. The stall that might or might not have contained deep bone was occupied by a horse now. It looked down its nose at him.
"Don't turn around, Mr. Paperman," said a voice behind him.
William tried to remember what had been behind him. Oh, yes, the hay lift, and huge bags of straw, plenty of room for someone to hide.
"All right," he said. "Hark, hark, the dogs do bark," said Deep Bone. "You must be mental." "But I'm on the right track," said William. "I think I've... Here, you sure you weren't followed?"
"Corporal Nobbs was on my trail," said William, "but I shook him off."
"Ha! Walking round the corner and shake off Nobby Nobbs." "Oh, no, he kept right up. I knew Vimes would have me tracked," said William proudly.
"By Nobbs?"
"Yes, obviously, in his werewolf shape."
There, he'd said it. But today was a day for shadows and secrets.
"A werewolf shape?" said Deep Bone flatly. "Yes, I'd be grateful if you didn't tell anyone else." "Corporal Nobbs?" said Deep Bone, still in the same dull monotone. "Yes, look, Vimes told me not to..."
"Vimes told you Nobby Nobbs was a werewolf?"
"Well, no, not exactly. I worked that out for myself, and Vimes told me not to tell anyone else."
"About..."